Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, this is Ms. Sugar of Faith Based Purpose. I am your moderator. Your host is Evangelist Patricia Williams, co-host Reverend Roosevelt Williams. The call-in number for the show is 718-305-6798. Again, that's 718-305-6798. We would love to have you join our discussions. Bring your scripture, bring a friend, and be a part of the show. We thank you for your support. Now let's get back to our discussion.
Good afternoon. This is Faith Based Purpose. And as we've just stated, I am the moderator, Ms. Sugar. The host is Evangelist Patricia Williams, and the co-host is Reverend Roosevelt Williams. Today's topic is God's grace and forgiveness limited? So we want you to bring your scripture and a friend and join us for the study. We're asking the questions, has God placed a limit on his grace, mercy, and forgiveness? We also want to know several other things. If one falls out of his or her spiritual walk, will they be cast out? And if not, how many times will they be forgiven? Also, we want to know, other than blasphemy, because, you know, it's always been said blasphemy is the unforgivable act or sin. Other than blasphemy, is there a sin or an act out of righteousness which is greater than another? In other words, is there something that one person can do that is not of God, that is less right than what someone else may do? And does everyone commit some sort of sin? Now, all those answers we want to answer according to the scripture, and we want the listeners to know, if you are first-time listeners, here we discuss, we do not debate, and scripture is always available. We have Reverend Williams on the line. Evangelist Williams has not joined us as of yet. I'm sure she'll be calling in soon, but she has not joined us as of yet. So, Reverend Williams, how are you?
Good evening. How are you doing?
Doing great. Okay, I think Evangelist Williams.
Good evening. God bless y'all.
Okay, so now we have the host and the co-host on the line. We have Evangelist Williams and we have Reverend Roosevelt Williams. And again, the main topic is God's grace and forgiveness limited? And I'm sure we're going to have a great discussion today. So,
yes,
Evangelist Williams, we will let you begin.
Okay. God bless everybody that's listening. Excuse my voice. I preached on Friday night, and I guess I preached it away. Anyway, I'm here. Is God's grace and forgiveness limited? Now, I answer that question, no. And I have one scripture, because I'm sure somebody else has some that they would like to discuss also. In Ephesians 2 and 7, it says that in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness towards us through Christ Jesus. Now, first of all, when I began to look at the word ages, I'm 58, so that kind of make me know that there is no time limit in his grace and his forgiveness. And the word exceedingly means you can stretch it out as far as your faith will allow you. So in Ephesians 2 and 7, that's the scripture that I chose to talk about his grace. And I still say that, no, There is no limit on his grace. Now, on forgiveness, I chose Psalms 103:3. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities? Who healeth all thine diseases? Okay. The word all means no limit. All of it. All right, now I have another one on forgiveness in Matthew 6:14. For if you
Evangelist Reverend Roosevelt.
Yeah, I hear. I know. I'm sorry.
Okay. Okay, Evangelist Williams, go ahead.
Okay. Matthew 6:14. I have another one on forgiveness. For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. Okay. This forgiveness is upon condition. It's no limit. If we forgive, as many times as we forgive, then God will forgive us. So we can leave it open right there for whoever would like to comment or discuss on either of those scriptures that I chose.
Okay. Now, here's my question. Evangelist William?
Yes.
Are you there? Okay. I heard a hang up on the line, but okay, here's my question. We know, we've read that God forgives us as often as we ask. Is that correct?
70 times 7, no limit.
Okay. Now, see, my understanding was with the 70 times 7 was the amount of times that we were supposed
to forgive. We're supposed to forgive, yes.
We're supposed to forgive. Okay, now my question, though, is if does that include, because it also says that you repent, right? We're supposed to repent, right?
Yeah.
Now, so say I go out and I commit adultery. I'm just going to put one out there. And I ask for forgiveness, and, you know, of course I'm going to be forgiven.
Yes.
And then it maybe, you know, 3-4 months later, I figure, okay, well, you know, I can't control myself. I'm going to go back, and I'm going to do it again.
Okay.
Now does God continue to forgive for repeated transgressions?
Well, in Romans, the book of Romans says, shall we continue in sin? It was Romans 6:1. What
okay.
shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that
mm-hmm.
grace may abound?
Mm-hmm.
Two says, God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Now, if we keep on doing the same thing, repenting and continuing is two different things. If we're going to keep on continuing in our sins, let's don't worry about repenting. Wait till you get through with it. And then
okay.
ask for forgiveness and you'll be done with it.
But
yes, God will forgive us. That was your question. That was your question. Yes, God will forgive. Yes, he will
okay.
forgive us. But, you know what? He don't want us playing with him and pretending that. You know, and you know it's going to be more than, say you said 2 months. Why didn't you say the next day? Okay.
Well,
especially
you know,
when it comes to sex.
Well, you know, sex
like
and drunkenness, and I'm not going to say drinking because, you know, I haven't received that yet, that drinking in itself is a sin. I've received that drunkenness is a sin.
Here we go again. The Bible said Mark is... wine is a marker. Strong drinks is raging. Ye that is deceived thereby is not wise. So you're going and say, because you know when people get drunk, they're going to act a fool. So, you know, we need to really just ask for forgiveness of our sins, repent of our sins, and do not continue in them.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when we get saved, we have to get delivered from things. You know, People say, well, I got Almighty one package. Well, you lied when you said that, because the Bible says there's higher heights and deeper depths. We're going to grow as we learn the word. We grow by the word of God.
Amen.
So we didn't get it all in one whop. I know I didn't. You know, I'm still learning.
Okay.
And I try to walk in what I learn.
Okay. Reverend William, what do you have for us?
Yes, how you doing?
Doing great.
When we're talking about the grace of God, grace, number one, is that which is unmerited. It wasn't nothing you did to get it. It's just that which is in God, which he has
unmerited favor
unto us as favor. And so the thing is that the grace of God is not limited. But the one thing is that some of us teach kids the wrong thing. We teach about once saved, always saved. I never had found that scripture whatsoever.
Me neither. That's a lie.
Now, the thing is, now in the book of Romans, it says, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in that grace may abound? But understand what Paul said. God forbid. How shall we that are dead in sin live any longer therein? Now, there's a difference between me going out and I'm a Christian and I go and mess up because, and I don't want to go into our next part of the topic, but there is a difference between one who continually, we don't sin, there's no doubt about it. We are going to do it. You can do it maliciously, or you can do it knowing and unknowing. And so, but the one thing about it, we have to look at that as Romans continues to teach. It says, let not sin therefore reign. Now, reign and living the life of sin and be a Christian, mess up, as you were saying, that thing that has that comes. Even Paul had to say, that which I would not do, I find that I would do. That I would not do, I find that I would do. And so he was saying, it's not me, but that old good, no good thing which is in me. So Paul was trying to get us to understand, just as he was a preacher, he was human. And he was going to mess up. But it said, let not sin reign. That means you don't make your lifestyle. You just don't. What I was when I used to be out there was the life of sin that I lived, doing adultery, doing lying and thieving, everything else you could think about, drugs, alcohol. But now that I have supposed to be recovered, you know, sometimes even a drug addict fall back into what he came out of. But does that mean that grace, he fell from grace, or grace departed from him? You know, I know many that fell back out into the world, but yet God still brought them back. That's one thing we have to remember. But then sometimes we try to play God. One thing we have to remember, God is not mocked. You can't mock him by just saying, okay, well, I know Lord forgive. Well, then you're trying to play with the Lord. And so we need to understand that forgiveness and the grace of God is through how we feel in our hearts. See, anybody can say, I'm sorry, but does it come from the heart? I can't call when how a man feel, but I do know when we say, Lord, forgive me. We have to come from the heart with it, because God knows the heart of a man. He knows what's in a man. He knows how he feels. So you can't mock him. You can't play with him. But he wants us to know that grace is always extended. And the only one can cut themselves off from the grace, which I hear people say, once saved, always saved. You because we find the scriptures, who can separate us from the love of God? And it says, no, not you. God always going to love even the sinner.
Mm-hmm.
And his love is always there. But he is letting us know is that if Jesus says that many are going to say, Lord, Lord, in my name, them folks, they confess to God. But if he says, the only thing I'm going to say, depart from you, you can cut yourself off. You know, on this side, we are always continuously under the grace. But the one thing you don't want to do is play around with the grace.
Okay.
Because when judgment comes, once you leave this side, when judgment time comes, you see, you can't say I'm sorry. You can't say I want to take everything I did back. You know, it's like one caller was talking about over in Hebrews. And over in Hebrews, it was talking about them who have known the word, came to the faith of the word, but then they denounced it, the word. They turned away from it. They began to believe that there was no God. Now you're talking about some blasphemy. And I don't want to get into our next topic, but
okay.
Yeah, the grace of God is always extended.
Okay, for both of you in 1 John 3, and I'm going to say 8 through 10. Okay?
Okay.
1 John 3, 8 through 10. Do you want me to play a little insert while you look for that?
No, you can read it.
You can go on with that.
Okay. It says, the one who does what is sinful is of the devil, because the devil has been sinning from the beginning. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the devil's work. Now, verse 9 is what I'm getting to. No one who is born of God will continue to sin, because God's seeds remain in them. They cannot go on sinning because they have been born of God. Now, with that being said, I guess that was one of the reasons why I asked that question. If you keep doing the same thing, do you you keep asking for forgiveness and you're still being forgiven?
Yeah. Well, like I said, one part, we can't. God is not mocked. That's one thing we always have to remember. And we try to use a lot of things to make our cause. But understand, God lets us know, we say, over in that 1 John, it says, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive
mm-hmm.
ourselves, and the truth is not in us.
That's before you get born again.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yes. And so then he says, if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Okay.
If we say that we have, and if we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us.
Okay.
Okay. So
now,
the thing
okay,
is, go ahead.
No, if he cleanses, once we confess our sins, he cleanses us from all unrighteousness. Now we
right,
got that
right.
part. And you know, I always play the person, you know, I'm asking all the different questions here. He cleanses from all unrighteousness. But going back to what I just read, it says that once we have received that, if we are born of God, then we won't continue to sin. Am I misreading that?
No, you're not. And now read it slowly. What it says.
Okay.
I'm help you.
Evangelist William, are you there?
I'm good.
Yes.
Oh, she there?
What scripture? Uh-huh. Give me that scripture. Uh-huh. Give me that scripture again.
Okay, I went back. I went even farther back to 7. I went to 1 John.
Well,
I'm going to go back to 1 John 3:6 and through 10, and it says, "No one who lives in Him keeps on sinning." Okay, that's John 3:6. No one who continues to sin has either seen him or known him. Okay, now we're
see,
going
first,
into. Okay. Go on, Reverend.
First John. First John 1 and what now?
No, First John 3.
Okay, I got you.
Okay. Verse 6.
Okay.
Okay, so do are we going to take this part by part or?
Okay. Practice of righteousness. That's what my headline is on mine.
Okay.
The practice of righteousness. We're supposed to be practicing righteousness. Right? And so whosoever committed sin transgresses also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law. And we know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him is no sin, right?
Okay.
So whosoever abided in him sinneth not, whosoever sinneth has not seen him, neither know him.
Right, that's what I just read. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So then it goes on to let us understand. It says, when you're practicing righteousness, you're saying, I know him. Your everyday walk, like I said, we're going to do something. Yes, we are. And that's why he made the word forgive. And one thing we can't not skip and try to say, I'm going to be this perfect. No, you're not.
Okay.
But he's letting us know that your walk should be trying to walk, not in sin, but walking in the righteousness of God.
Okay, now stop right there. Stop right there.
Okay.
Evangelist Williams, from that verse, tell me what you got. Now, stay right there, Reverend Williams, right where you are. Tell me what you got from that verse.
Whosoever abideth in him, the word abideth means live in him, sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth has not seen him, neither known him. When I confessed my sins, he forgave me of my sins. I no longer live in the sins that I confessed because they were forgiven.
Okay.
I used to be a liar, thief, or adulterer, or fornicator, or whatever, fighter, cusser. I don't do those things anymore.
Okay. So, for everyone that's listening, what you're saying is that First John 3 and 6, he's talking about the sins before you accepted Christ, right?
That's right, because if you abide
in
him, you couldn't be a sinner.
Okay, but now, where it says no one who continues to sin has either seen him or known him. Go ahead.
Understand the word you just said, continuously. Understand, continuously, when I read over in Romans, let not sin reign. That means you going back to living the life that you would.
And so that was the question that I asked earlier.
Right, and the word reign means to stay in you. If you've been cleansed from them, it's not in there anymore. The word reign means to stay in.
Okay.
You know, you reign in your house, so you stay in your house.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And so when you get down to the next part, it says, little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. He that committed sin is of the devil, for the devil sinned from the beginning for the purpose.
All right, now, stop right there. Now, right there,
amen.
We're going to go to the next, does everyone, or is this true, is this a true statement or not? Does everyone commit some sort of sin?
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
yes,
there are so many kinds of sin. There are so many sins of omission, sins of commission, sins of this, sins of that. When you say, does everyone sin?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, if you're talking about people's thoughts, people's eyes, you can sin with your eyes. You can think things that are evil. That's sin. So it's just so many different kinds. But if we keep our mind stayed on Jesus and have the mind of Christ, we do not sin. And there's a willfully sinning. You know, if I see something and I think, oh, that is just awful. That's me thinking that or me saying that. I thought the wrong thing. Mm-hmm. And I understand what Minister Williams is saying, Reverend Williams is saying. You know, it doesn't have to be that you are dwelling in or letting it rain in you because it crossed your mind. Snatch your mind back. Hold on to the reins of your mind. This is a fight we're in. Did you not know spiritual warfare and keeping sin from reigning in you is a fight? It's a fight. If you don't come in contact with anybody in the run of a day and just read your Bible and study your Bible, do you mean to tell me that you sin? You have to sin? No, we do not have to sin. And yes, a person can live free from sin all day long and all night long and all week long and all month long if you keep your mind on Jesus.
Okay. Reverend Williams?
Yes.
Did he leave? Okay, I thought you had left. You're leaving us hanging here. Do you have something you want to add?
I went to a mute because I was doing a little research.
Okay, so do you have anything?
I'm trying to get there. I'm trying to get there.
Okay.
It's in the book of Romans. The Bible tells us, and I could tell you the scripture, but I would like to, I like to read, walk with a text so that people can really understand is that the Bible says if all have sinned and came short of the glory. See, we want to size it up. We think because I didn't think something bad, we think because I didn't really go out and do no adultery. I didn't drink no beer. I didn't go to dancing. We feel that we didn't do no killing. We didn't do no murder.
Okay, so
but we have.
The question is, does everybody commit some sort of sin?
Yes, we do. Every day.
Okay.
And I take, and let me put it like this. I try to take nothing for granted.
Okay.
This is me. I'm not everybody. Everybody ain't me, and I ain't everybody. But Reverend Williams, when I go on my knees at night or when I pray, Lord, forgive me for whatever sin I may have committed in your sight. Because I cannot get up and think just because I gave somebody some, trying to give somebody some good, correct guidance. And may be the wrong guy. Might not be what God wanted him to have.
Okay.
You committed something because you done led that person into a wrong straight.
Okay.
Now,
so,
also,
well, Reverend Williams, if you give somebody some good guidance, the Bible said, in all your ways acknowledge him and let him direct your path. So if you've given them instructions and you've gotten it from God, it couldn't be wrong. And the Bible, the Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible also said we were born in sin and shapen in iniquity. That's why the new birth had to come about.
Okay.
But as far as sinning every day, what did you do today that was wrong, Reverend William? Tell me what you done today that was wrong.
Who knows? I don't know. I mean, that's...
All right, then. I'm not going to confess that I sinned at all today because I'm just like you. I don't know what... I don't know. If you don't know, then you didn't do nothing. It's good to repent before you go to bed and say, Lord, forgive me if I have done anything that wasn't pleasing in your sight. That's a good prayer for all of us to pray. But if somebody just asks you, you're a preacher. What did you do wrong today? You can't think of nothing.
Okay,
I said, first off, I don't know. I said, everybody ain't me, and I ain't everybody. I said, I do not take God for granted.
Okay.
And the thing is, if I said something or did something, because sometimes we get up thinking we ain't done nothing. But what about when you were driving that person cut in front of you? What was going through your mind? What about when you got to work this morning, somebody said something mean to you? Somebody going to do something to you before the day is out. You're going to see, you're going to say, and you're going to do it.
Okay, now you're leading me into the next question. Is one sin greater than another sin? You know, it's because I've always been taught that sin is sin. If you look and lust after a person, it was a sin. And this is what the old people used to tell us. Well, if you're gonna do that, you might as well go on and do it because it's still a sin. You lusting after, if you're looking at, you know, and so is one sin different than another sin? I mean,
well, now when the old people said that, they was talking Bible. Because the Bible says that if a man looks on a woman and lusts in his heart, then he has sin. So that's why they got that from you. May well go and do it because you done sinned either way. You've got to repent.
Right. So that's what I'm saying. Is one sin, you know, because you were mentioning the different types of sin. But is one sin,
right.
Is one sin okay? One sin not okay? Is
no,
sin,
all
is
sin.
One sin greater than another sin?
Because, I don't think it is. Sin is sin.
Well, see, that's what I was thinking,
no.
But I'm going to let you explain that in a minute, Reverend Roosevelt, but because the way you were explaining it, Evangelist Williams, you were saying that, well, you know, there's this kind of sin, this kind of sin, and for the listeners, you know, they would think, well, it's okay, well, then if it's that many different kinds of sins and the way it's being explained, then that one is okay. You know, sin by omission is okay. And I always tell my children, my grandkids, you're still lying. You're still lying. A lie is a lie. So I want you to go ahead and speak on that real quick on the, you know, because you were talking about the various types of sin.
Yeah, sin is sin in the sight of God. And all unrighteousness is sin. So that's why I was saying that about the different kinds, like commission, omission, all that sin is just sin.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to tell you something. A person know, even a child, that has not confessed Christ in his life. David is 12. David know the rules of our house.
Mm-hmm.
If David gets ready to go do something that he know we don't like him to do, say for instance, TV, he love his TV. His TV is in his room. If we teach him that cursing is very ugly and
mm-hmm.
it's a sin, it's not right. He loved
mm-hmm.
wrestling. Well, everybody know the wrestler's curse. Did you not know he know how to turn it down real low where we can't hear it
mm-hmm.
when they start cursing? He haven't confessed his sins before the Lord and says, I'm saved and filled with the Holy Ghost. But he know that's wrong because of the way we've taught him.
Mm-hmm.
So to him, it's a sin. To him, it's ugly because that's
okay.
what we've taught him. See what I'm saying?
Okay.
So sin is sin.
Okay. Reverend Williams?
Yes. Y'all really rushing me. I'm trying to get this stuff here. Yes. See, we want to compare sin to big and small. But to the Lord, there is no comparison. There
Amen.
Is. I was listening to what the minister was saying, and I was trying to get the identification of the word omission and commission. And that's the part I was saying. There are things that we do deliberately, knowing we get ready to do, knowing
right.
it's wrong. But then there are things that I was saying that we do that we really don't know. And so no sin is greater than the other. Because whether you're lying and a person is a thief, it's still sin. Whether a person is a murderer or a person just stole a little old bag of money or a piece of candy, you murdered and you stole. And even as I was saying, and it ain't just physical murder. We can kill each other with our mouths, what we say to one another. And there are things that we have to identify you know, and as I was saying, I'm not going to go throughout the day, Lord, is this wrong, that wrong, or I feel good. Like I said, me, I'm just one that try to make sure I'm not doing omission nor commission, neither one.
Amen.
And I know when I do something, I know when I do something deliberate, I know it is. But we all think of something, we all going to do something, and there's no way of getting around it. That's why he made forgiveness. Jesus said 70 times 70. Because the lady that they found in the sin was an adulteress. And the man that was with her, he was one too, an adulterer. It may have been his first time, but that was her practice. But the thing was, when Jesus wrote in the sand, he said, which one of you? Which one of you can cast the first stone? Thank you so clean. Your hands is just neat as ever. Only one person came on this earth, and he was so neat every day and pure to go up on the cross. We can't go up on no cross. You're going to do something throughout the day, period. It may not be to where you can see, somebody else can see, but we have to make sure and know and understand that we were born and shaped in iniquity, and we're going to do something, because if it wasn't, that would never be the word forgiveness, and Jesus never would have died. And we believe in faith that if we ask for forgiveness in faith, you are forgiven. And that's what we have to understand, is that there is no greater sin. Now, the Bible does say that, I can't think of the scripture right now because I was scared to turn pages in Sister Sugar's ear. But the thing is that the Bible says there are sins that are unto death, and then there are sins that are not unto death. It don't mean you get past the judge. It's saying there are sins that can be immediately, death can come upon you. And then there are sins that in God's own due season, you're going to get accountable for it. You might not get it today. You know, like when we were little children, my grandmother used to say, I'm going to whoop you, and we about as crazy as ever going there. Grandma, you got to whoop us. She said, I ain't got it. But when I get you, I'm going to get you for everything you need. So there are sins that are right then death upon us, and there are sins that are not. But there's no larger or no smaller. And no one is, none is greater than the other. Amen? Is anybody? Amen. All right. Let's do it now.
Okay. Sister Regina, let us hear from you.
Praise the Lord. Good evening. How are y'all doing?
Good evening.
I mean, it's just, the word is just true all by itself. It's just, we just got to take it at what it says and just press and just do what the word says. And we won't fall into that sin, or we won't have to repent all the time. But it says repent daily, so you have to repent daily regardless if you know you done done something. You don't. You still have to repent because you might.
Amen.
Depending down the road for something else that might finna come up. So you've been already asked for forgiveness, and you won't fall into that because you've already repented. But
okay.
All right, Sister Regina.
All right. Does anyone want to say anything about blasphemy?
Yeah, we know that's the unforgivable.
Would either or both of you explain to the listeners exactly what blasphemy is?
Oh, okay, sister, you want to start?
Let me see if I can find it because it's talking against that. Okay, let's look at Mark 3:29. Now, excuse my page is flopping in your ears because I didn't know that was going to come up. I would have already had it. Okay, let's look at Mark.
Okay, I think I have. What is this? I think it's Mark 3.
And 29.
What is
this? But he that shall blaspheme against the Holy Ghost hath never forgiveness, but is in danger of eternal damnation. The word damnation means condemnation. But the word blasphemy means talking against the Holy Ghost. In other words, saying there's no such thing.
Okay.
All right, let's look at another one. Romans 2 and 24. And if we need to, you know, bring in some further information about blasphemy, we can do it at a time when we've, you know, looked it up and researched it. Because a lot of people doesn't think that it was a question asked years ago.
Yeah, and then
so
Matthew 12,
31
and 32 also.
Mm-hmm. Okay, 2 and 24, it says, for the name of God is blasphemed amongst the Gentiles through you, as it is written. Okay, what did you say, Matthew? That wasn't the one I was looking for.
Matthew 12, 31 through 32, and so
okay.
I tell you, every kind of sin and slander can be forgiven, but blasphemy against the Spirit will not be forgiven.
Okay,
anyone who speaks a word against the Son of Man will be forgiven. Anyone who speaks a word against the Son of Man will be forgiven, but anyone who speaks against the Holy Spirit will not be forgiven, either in the age or in the age to come.
Okay.
Amen. Amen.
It was asked once, can you blaspheme or can you talk against, speak against something that you haven't had? Now, is that a yes or no? Can a person actually talk against something that they don't have or that they've never had?
Well, if the only thing that they can blaspheme against that they will not be forgiven is the Holy Spirit, not the Son of Man, but the Holy Spirit.
Right. But if you've never received the Holy Ghost, then can you blaspheme against it?
Yeah.
Yes, I would think so. And I'm thinking that I would think so. Because it says anyone. It doesn't say anyone who has been saved or anyone has been redeemed or anyone who, you know, is. It just says anyone who speaks.
Okay. Well, to
and
me,
anyone
like,
is anyone.
Yeah, but to me, that would be just like saying, if you say, do you like Egypt? And I said, no, you've never been there. How can I say I really like it or don't like it, and I've never been there?
Okay,
so I don't,
that's just like saying we believe in God, and we've never seen him. So I don't.
We've never seen him. Because
right.
The Bible said you can't look upon him and live, but we see the God in each other every time he's manifested through his people. So, yes, I have seen him.
Okay.
I've seen his manifestation in others.
And I get that. I agree with
yeah.
that. But
yeah.
if the word anyone to me means just what it says. It means anyone.
Yeah.
It said
the word
anyone
means
speaks.
Anyone. But
yeah.
I still say that a person cannot. You can talk against it, but I'm talking about really speaking against it. You know, you can say, oh, I don't believe in that. People say it all the time. But can you really truthfully say, you don't know anything about it, so what would you have to say against it? You don't know nothing about it.
Well, a lot of people didn't know about Jesus, but they still talked about it.
In the Bible, the people that talked about it, they had heard of him. You know, they'd heard of him. Some of them had seen him, too, and still talked against him. Some of them had seen him and still didn't believe in him. And some of them see Christ in us today and still don't believe in him.
Well, now, Evangelist Williams, let me see if I can get this. Okay, blasphemy is talking against the Holy Spirit, right?
Right.
Well, it's kind of like saying, I don't believe that. I don't believe that.
Right. So it's talking against the Holy Spirit.
Right.
So atheists who talks against the Holy Spirit, they are talking against something that they don't believe in.
Right.
So it, that's blasphemy. Now, that's the way I look at it. That is blasphemy.
Right.
But
you think atheists is going to go to heaven?
Are they what?
You think they're going to go to heaven?
If they are, if they repent and are forgiven of their sins, but in starting back in the same book of Matthew, but starting back one verse, it say, "Whosoever is not with me is against me, and whosoever does not gather with me scatters."
Right.
So it says, and so I tell you, every kind of sin and slander can be forgiven, but blasphemy against the Spirit will not be forgiven. And it still says, anyone.
Right.
Who speaks the word against me?
If you talk to the atheist, Miss Sugar, they'll tell you, I don't believe in that. No, you can ask me if they want to go to heaven. No, we have our own heaven and stuff. So, you know.
But then as believers, what they say don't matter because we know that there is a heaven and we know that there is a God. So what they say that they don't believe in, that doesn't matter. It doesn't matter to us. I'm going to put it that way. It doesn't matter in reference to our soul. I'll put it that way, in our spirit. But in reference to theirs, it does matter. So if they're saying that they don't believe in a true and living God that we know is, then they are blaspheming. And I mean, I just don't see it any other way. And I may be wrong, but I don't see it any other way.
Well, even the Pharisees would always say Jesus spoke blasphemy. And that was against God itself because that's all they believed in was God. And they wasn't believing in no Holy Ghost. And Israel was, and those Pharisees of Israel, they were God's chosen.
Well, see, they couldn't believe in the Holy Ghost because it hadn't yet came.
Well, it hadn't came.
But well, Jesus was still on the
scene. Jesus was teaching this.
Right.
He wasn't sitting there to just a limit of certain people, whether you save or not. He said blasphemy. Somebody say, ain't no such thing as a Holy Ghost. That's blasphemy.
That's right. That's blasphemy.
Okay.
That's right. You're speaking again.
If I'm a believer and I say there ain't no such thing, that's blasphemy.
That's right. And can you go to heaven with the course? No, you cannot.
What was said was, can everybody commit blasphemy? And that's what the question was. And yes, everybody can commit blasphemy, whether they know it or not. But somewhere you were told about Jesus, okay? And you failed to receive it. Because the Bible says, Peter said, all of you stand and receive the Holy Ghost, right, and be baptized. So they believed in that there was the Holy Ghost. So those that didn't want to receive it rejected it. So when you reject it, because even Jesus said, man must be reborn again, must be filled with the Spirit, right? Must be baptized in the Spirit, not just with water, but in the Spirit and the water. So the only thing it is that if you give them birth, and as I said that the sister read in the book of Hebrews some weeks ago about there were those who were pulled in by the word, they were reached by the word, but then they want to turn from the word and deny the word and walk back out into the sins that they were. Now, you're saying ain't no such thing as no Holy Ghost. You don't have to precisely say it. But we are under the power of the Holy Ghost. That's what's keeping us. That's what holding us until Jesus comes. And we should walk in that faith under the power of the Holy Ghost. And the thing is, whether they believe or whether they were saved, whether they wasn't saved, it's all in all. I'm like Sister Sugar when it says whosoever. And that means anybody, everybody, all those who are down here that call themselves somebody. You're saying blasphemy and there's no, that just, I can't say, I wouldn't say, well, yeah, I would. But it said that is a forgivable sin. That's a sin that's going to hang on you until you die. You know. And so I'm like, if you deny the Holy Ghost, yeah, you might be destructing yourself for hell. I just don't like to judge and say where a person going to go, but Jesus letting them know that that is an unforgivable sin.
That's right.
Going to hang
well, on. Then if he said it, then it is.
That's right.
And I'm like, now, if folk won't get into which is the greatest, then, well, that's like, that's the greatest one that's going to hang on your head until judgment time. Now, how it's going to turn out with you and the Lord, that's between, you know, but I try to make sure that, you know, when people do things, whether they say the Holy Ghost told me or not, I'm like, okay, I try not to even go there and say the Holy Ghost ain't told you nothing.
Yeah,
you
I
know,
do too.
God's gonna reveal this sooner or later.
Okay.
We were in a Bible discussion years ago. I was a young, hadn't been saved long, and my pastor at the time was a young man. We was in Bible study. That's why it's good to search the scriptures. The Bible say, because in them you think you have eternal life, and these are they that testify of me. This young man said something that it was blasphemy. And my pastor at the time, he said, don't say that. Don't say that, son. You don't know what you're talking about. He said, he explained to him that he had just blasphemed. The young man didn't even know what blasphemy was, had never heard the word. So that's why I said what I said. That's what I said just a minute ago. And he said,
I can understand that.
Yeah, he says, let me explain it to you. He said, don't be quick to say things. If you don't believe something we're discussing or we're talking about, don't be quick to say, that's not right, I don't believe that. Because he blasphemed. He had never heard of blasphemy. He didn't know what he said. So now, I don't know the mind of Christ well enough to say that, God, he didn't know what he was talking about. I can't tell God that. But the young man said it ignorantly. He was innocent. He had never heard the word blaspheme before. And I just don't really think that God would cast him into hell, because he just spoke out and said what he said. Well, I don't believe that. He said, I don't believe that. And it scared the pastor almost to death. The young man hadn't confessed his sin. He was just visiting Bible study. So how many of you just listening know that if a sinner on the street, you can walk up to a sinner on the street and lead them to Christ through the sinner's prayer, according to Romans 10:9-10. They may say anything. And they don't understand. Everybody wasn't raised in church. And a lot of people that were raised in church is so confused now until they don't hardly know anything.
Now, how do you know that?
They don't know anything about the scripture. You know,
but not to cut you off, you didn't say what the young man said, or I didn't catch it, but the thing is, now, she read it, Sister Sugar read that it says, and it was over in Romans, either you, one of y'all read it, that you can say something about God, or even in Matthew, one of you can say something about God, you can say something about Jesus, but that does not make that an unforgivable sin. It says against the Holy Ghost.
That's right. And what the young man said was that he didn't believe in the Holy Ghost. And I think it was because of the word ghost. I think he was thinking in terms of Casper, the friendly ghost.
The ghost.
Yeah, the ghost. That's what he didn't understand. That's why people choose to say spirit. But it's like Pastor said yesterday when he was ministering. The Holy Spirit is mentioned in the word, and the Holy Ghost is mentioned in the word. Whichever one you choose to use. It's the same thing.
Yeah.
It's the Spirit of God that dwells in us. Is his spirit
that
dwells in us?
Well, but I can't say what's going to happen with.
Right, we was talking about the Holy Ghost, and he didn't understand. He said, I don't believe that. And the pastor almost had a fit. He looked at me and said, why are you hollering at me like that? What are you talking about? He said, son, you just blasphemed. He said, what is blaspheme? All I said was I didn't believe it.
What did I do?
Yeah, he didn't understand.
Yeah.
He didn't understand. He was just visited us at Bible study. He didn't go to church. And a lot of times that's where we lose people. We lose confuse people. Not according to the way the pastor handled it, could have scared the poor creature to death. He'd never go back to church no more. Because he thought he was going to go to hell that night, I guess. And then he explained to him the scripture that we were just talking about. If any man, you can speak against God the Son, but you can't speak against the Holy Ghost. And when we was discussing the Holy Ghost. And he said, I don't believe that. You know, how can anybody have somebody else living inside of him? Just like you got demons living inside of you. The Spirit of God can dwell inside of you too. But he didn't understand. In other words, the Bible studies that we were talking about, everybody in the church was saying, this young man walking off the streets. So, you know, it could have been our fault. We should have just had Bible study on receiving Jesus or something because we lost him. But when the pastor began to explain to him about blasphemy, that threw him for a loop. You know, he began to say, what did I say? I didn't say nothing. Because he didn't understand.
I'm like this, okay? I guess I'm a hard person because I don't try to give people too much leeway on what they don't understand because I'm like, if he didn't understand the Holy Ghost, okay, well, the Bible tells us also if you haven't accepted Christ, if you don't know him.
Well, that's what she just said. She said that he was just a young guy that had not.
He walked in off the street.
Yeah.
You know, the church door, the lights are on, and you just wandered around. He didn't even have a Bible. He just seen the lights on and came in and sat down. And we was in Bible study and talking.
Reverend Williams, I'm going to say this.
Yes.
I it's a lot of people that don't know. Nobody, and you know, I know we said we wouldn't speak on opinion, but I just don't think there's anybody that just knows the entire Bible. Knows it from front to back. I'm talking people that's been in the ministry, and I know some pastors, some evangelists. I'm talking about, I can ask them something and they can go to it. But the thing of it is I don't think, and this is just one person's, you know, thought here, that we can say that somebody should know it, you know, that there's no excuse for them not to know it. There may be an excuse for them not to learn it.
Yeah, it's a lot of people don't.
There could be a reason for them not to know it.
Yeah.
And that's what Bible study is for, is
right.
So you can learn it.
That's the only reason I say I'm kind of hard in that about people don't know. It's just like a child. If everybody can make an excuse why people don't have education, I can understand back in the old days and slavery times, some of us had to go. We couldn't go to school because we had to stay home and help with this. You were made to stay home then.
Okay.
Now, to a person, to everyone that had a chance to go to public school to get an education, I can't stop and give no sympathy because somewhere you heard the word education, go to school. Somewhere you sit in the classroom, but you refuse to listen.
We have about 10 minutes left in the show, and I'm going to tell you that Evangelist Williams and I both have worked in the school system. And I can say that a child can go to can have a reason not to have an education
and not miss
in today's school system.
Yeah.
Well, I just say it's just me. That's the way I look at it.
And be in school every single day
every day,
have a reason not to have an education. So learning as far as the Bible goes. And if even in education, if that's what you want to make a parable to, you have to teach them. They're not going to just know it.
I was trying to get to the part of when I was a young man. Let's just take the part of my living when I was raised up. Block that out. Let's just say as I begin to walk in the world,
doing
my later on life,
mm-hmm.
I heard somewhere on every corner, I heard Jesus preach. Believe me.
Okay.
And so I can't go and say nobody did hear. because that's why Jesus gave us a commandment to go out in the highways and byways. And if we give that, then that means the church ain't doing what they're supposed to do.
Well,
because everybody, somebody, even on your job, you're supposed to let somebody who you feel is not a believer know about Jesus.
Okay, now that's the thing right there, Reverend William. Everybody that speaks the word of God, and everyone that you sit down and have a conversation with about the word of God may not be telling them the right thing. So
that's
they still won't know. So that's why what she's saying is when this young man walked into the church, then they should have dealt with it a different way.
Right.
That's what she's saying. Because he may have been to church and he may have had those, you know, someone talking to him about this, but
right.
And he may have even heard the word, the Holy Ghost, before, but this time he was in an environment where they allowed him to have a say. And if he said, I don't believe in it, then that's what she's saying. He had no idea.
Yeah.
And if he had no idea, he just had no idea.
That's right. And he didn't even know what
I understand
that. He didn't even know what it was. So that's why I said, how can you really say something about something you don't even know what it is?
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I wanted to clarify that, not to confuse anybody who was listening, because a lot of people, you'd be surprised to know, don't even mention the word blasphemy in their church.
Okay, but I'm looking at the check. That's the only thing I'm looking at. And Jesus says, anyone, he ain't make no excuses.
Okay, anyone what?
Because it says, anyone who was denying of the Holy Ghost.
Mm-hmm.
Where was that? In the book of who?
Talk against the Holy Ghost.
Okay, anyone that spoke against the Holy Spirit, right?
Anyone. It ain't.
Right.
It didn't pick out rich, poor. It didn't rich out dumb or smart. It didn't pick out. It said anyone.
And that's why Evangelist Williams asked if anyone that did not know about it.
Okay, but do you, what scripture is that in?
It's in Matthew 12. I read 32, 33.
Y'all, hold on. I'm going somewhere now. Matthew 12 and what now?
30 through 33.
And he that is not with me is against me, and he that gathereth not with me gathereth abroad, right?
Mm-hmm.
Wherefore I say unto you, all manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto men, but the blasphemy against the Holy Ghost shall be forgiven unto men, and whosoever speaketh a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. But whosoever speaketh against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven him, neither in this world, neither the world to come. It ain't talking about if you didn't know, if you know it, it's not. You know why Jesus said it? Because if you look at his ministry, all the way from chapter 1, from the time he came out of the wilderness, he did everything that was, and the fame of him went around, didn't it? And so he's letting us know that you should know. If you listen, you heard. If somebody came somewhere, then I can't say why the man did or didn't. I'm just saying the text is letting us know nobody escapes because we fall into a sympathy role.
Okay, Reverend Williams. Reverend Williams.
Okay.
Let me ask you this way. You know, in one of our topics, we talked about what age, you know, a person should be baptized, right? So we also decided in that topic that children are covered by the blood up until a certain age. Is that correct?
Right.
Okay. Uh-huh. If a child, and I think if I recall correctly, we said the age was 13.
Accountability.
Okay, accountability.
Age
okay.
of accountability.
No, just the age
so
of,
if that
age
child,
of
if that child is 10 years old and says, "I don't believe in the Holy Ghost," is that child going to be forgiven? Because now I want you to understand something. that child is still an everyone. That's what Evangelist Williams is saying. The young man that came into their service was a babe in the woods, so to speak. He did not know religion. He did not know. He was there seeking, actually.
Okay. I mean, I wasn't there. Only thing I'm saying, I'm going with the Word of God.
Okay.
The only thing I'm looking at.
That's what we're doing, going according to Scripture.
On. But I'm looking at what Jesus is saying. He's talking to grown people, okay? And he's trying to let grown folks know because they're supposed to go back and teach their children.
Right.
Now, the thing is, I really can't go up against, yes, I can, because I got a grandson, 10, 11 years old, knows about the Holy Ghost. He knows about church and everything else. And I really couldn't, let me put it like this. I only understand what the Word of God says.
Okay.
That's the only thing I know. But now, to say what a person,
okay,
if they know or if they innocent, I can't say.
Okay, well, here's the thing. You said it at the beginning. You said you weren't there. Now, Evangelist Williams was at this place. I wasn't there. But then according to the Word, it also says make a tree good and its fruit will be good, right? Or make a tree bad and its fruit will be bad, for a tree is recognized by its fruit. Now, if that young man, being the fruit of whatever tree he came from, did not have that knowledge, Hold on. Now, Evangelist Williams, you tell me if this is what you were saying. This young man just did not know.
He did not know.
He just did not know, and he was a young man, and he did not go to church. He had to, at some point, Reverend Williams, he had to come and get that. You're not born with certain knowledge. That's why we have wisdom. We obtain wisdom. We're not born wise. We obtain wisdom. And we seek the knowledge. You know, seek ye first. So we have to seek. And he was seeking. But so that's what she's saying. He came there and he did not know. He had never heard nothing about he may have heard something about the Holy Ghost, but he did not know what the Holy Ghost was. He did not know what blasphemy was.
If he heard about a church and came up in there, well, let me not go there. But the only thing I'm saying is, for them to go and tell him in love and understanding, they done their part to let him know in love and understanding.
Yes, they did.
Now what he did, that's the whole him himself accountable. I'm just going by what the Word talks about. It ain't say if you sinner, if this and that. It just say blasphemy against the Holy Ghost. When you say there's no, it don't matter who you are. But they done their part. Okay? They done their part. Now,
okay. We got to move on to something else, but go ahead.
Yeah, but if we don't do it in the right way where they can understand, we can damage a person and cause them to leave the church and never come back.
Amen.
That's what I was saying. Yes, we can say it in a way.
We don't
understand a lot of times what people understand. If they don't understand it, I don't think it's for the ones of us who know to beat them down so bad or hit them so hard with it until it just frightens them and they feel like, oh, well, I can't be a part of this because they really didn't, you know, act like they, you know, didn't
exactly
want to take time to teach me nothing.
And I totally agree that, because that's what I was telling you about the time that the pastor told the visitors that, you know,
amen,
in front of the whole congregation,
yes,
you know, don't
yes
wear pants.
Yes.
You know, you're young ladies, you're nice, you know, looking young ladies and everything,
yes,
but don't wear pants into the house of the Lord. And I was hurt. I'm like, you don't do that. You call if we're not going to wear pants, fine. If that's what the leader of our church say, don't wear pants, then we're not going to wear pants. But you call a person off to the side and you teach them. That's what guidance is all about. You can't just take it for granted. Just like we don't take God for granted, Reverend Williams. You don't take God for granted, so you ask for forgiveness. If you did commit a sin that day, remember you said that? So we can't take anything. We can't take it for granted that this person already knows. We can't take any of that for granted.
But hold on. Everybody's thinking, when I say I'm a heartfelt person, I'm not a person to fall in. And believe me, I do things in love. But I just don't stand up and try to say to myself and give everybody something to just say, a crutch to say, oh, I had a bad life. I can't get on my feet. No.
Well, you have to know when to say when
on.
Because I'm going to hold on for a second. Go on.
Y'all missed what I'm saying.
Okay, go on.
With Evangelist Williams, when they said they took the young man and explained to him, I agree with that. But I'm not gonna tell nobody, well, you don't have a curse to lean on. No, I don't do that. I do things with understanding.
Okay.
But I just don't stand up there and play with people in a way of giving them a pity party time. Because I know that somewhere you had to learn and heal. He could just walk in and say, I just don't believe in it. That's like a Muslim just saying, I just don't believe in it. But he heard about it. But all the thing I'm saying, I don't know. I wasn't there. But I'm saying on their part, they did the right thing. And that is, talk to the man and let him know that, son, you committed blasphemy, and explain to him what he did.
Well, that's what he asked. He said, what did I do?
Right. And so I'm like, you did your part.
Okay, but did you hear what she said? She said he didn't even know what he had done. He asked, what did I do?
Okay, let me get you to understand. Every man got to work out his own salvation, right?
Right.
It's not about what he did. It's about what the word said he did. Now, only thing I'm saying is, Evangelist Williamson, they did what the word told them to do. Everything in love. That's what we're supposed to do.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
But
Reverend Williams, it says in all you're getting, get understanding. It's obvious to me from the conversation that the young man did not have understanding.
He didn't.
It's very obvious to me from what she said when the young man asking, what did I do? You know, he didn't understand why he was being approached that way. So that's obvious that he did not have understanding.
He did.
So there's no reason for any of us to say that he had to know. He didn't have to know because if we already – now, I'm going to give you this. I'm going to give you this. If I, you know, or if Evangelist Williams says it, then you could say, I know she knew better. I know she knew better because she studied the Bible. I know she knew better. But this young man didn't even know had never heard the word blasphemy before. She said that already. She said that.
Right.
So
right.
We're going over
okay.
the same point over and over. So if we're supposed to get understanding, that was at that point when they told him what he did wrong, that's what they did. They helped him to understand.
Right.
Okay.
So
but
now
saying,
we're going to move on to the next topic. We're going to move on to the next topic.
All right.
Just hold on. I think what we pretty much discussed everything except, was there anything that we left out? We decided that God's grace and forgiveness are two different things. God's grace. His forgiveness is unlimited.
Yes.
Did everybody agree on that?
Yes, it's unlimited.
Sister Regina?
Amen.
Do you agree? Okay. All right. Let me hear from you.
Amen.
Okay. Go ahead.
What I was going to say, you know, we are helpers one to another. And see, some people catch on quicker than others. So it may take a little time for somebody else to get a better understanding. So you have to just work with that person.
To help them understand.
Not just
right.
like, pushing them away. You know, if you explain it to them and they still really don't get it and you push them away, that's just like pushing them away.
Okay.
Like, I don't want to fool with you.
Right.
Amen.
Right.
Amen.
Right. Yeah. Because everybody, is on a different mental level.
That's
for one
right.
thing.
That's right.
Right.
You know, but I know some very intelligent people that can't read.
Me too.
You know, very intelligent people can't read.
Uh-huh.
You know, some people I know that can read, but they can't understand what they read.
What they, mm-hmm. read.
They can take a test on what they read over and over and over, and they cannot comprehend it.
Right.
You know, so it's just a lot involved in that.
Amen.
So we decided that God's grace, again, was what, Reverend Williams?
That God's grace is not
limited
anyone, and it does not limit itself, period. It always extends itself as long as we're above ground and breathe.
Okay.
But it's how we're going to receive and walk in it.
Okay.
Amen.
All right. And we know what blasphemy is.
Mm-hmm.
And we've decided that no sin is greater than another sin.
Okay.
Or
right. Did we agree on that? Did
well,
everybody agree?
I would say sin is sin, and one
mm-hmm.
is no greater than the other.
Okay.
Yeah. Sin is sin, and no one greater than the other.
Okay. All right. So we've pretty much covered everything. Our next topic is going to be Evangelist Williams, what was the question?
That Sister Bobby wanted to talk about?
Yes.
She wanted us to discuss on one of the shows, why do people blame Jesus
okay.
for everything that happens that's a tragedy?
Okay.
Why they
blame like all
Jesus?
Of the, yes.
Okay.
Yes. You know, like all the things that's been happening, the hurricanes and fires and the killings and all that stuff. And, you know, people say, they say loosely, you know, I don't know why Jesus allowed that to happen to them.
Or why God?
Either why did Jesus do that to them? Or something like, you know, like that.
Mm-hmm.
You know how
mm-hmm.
we blame. You know, how we blame
okay.
each other.
Yeah, I hear mostly that God is trying to get our attention. That's what I hear a lot. God is trying to get our attention.
But these
yeah.
people say, well, God don't have to do that to get your attention. All he got to do is just touch you.
Well, that too, but it's just like the children of Israel. Children of Israel went through many things. They saw God. They heard God. They've seen the miraculous movement of God. I mean, firsthand, eyesight. And the thing is, they just like a child, and we are the same way in this day and age. And yet, it doesn't get our attention.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing is, the only time it get our attention is in something highly tragic. And everybody
well,
want to holler.
And maybe that's why she's asking
right.
the question.
Right.
You know, because,
but,
you know, during those times is when people ask those questions, you know.
Right. And like 911, everybody was, they said prayer was banned from school. First thing they done was everybody meet around the flagpole in a moment of silence, and Pat Williams
right.
is going to pray. I said, what?
Yeah.
Are we at the school?
Okay.
So, I mean, when it happens, everybody want to do what they should have been doing all the time.
Right.
And then after
and
it blows over, people start doing like what they done, just like the children of Israel did.
Yeah, a lot
okay.
of people blame God because they don't know God and they don't understand.
That's exactly
if
right.
they understood it, and if they know him, then they would understand that first off, Romans 8 and who? 28 says what? And we know. That's the first part you have to get. We
right.
know.
All things.
Who is the we part, though? That's the church. That's the people of God. Those are the ones that's in the Word. Those are the ones that lead being led by His Holy Spirit. Those are the ones who walk in by faith and not by sight. And we know that
all things
good and bad, for the good to them that love God.
And who are called.
To Father, not my will, but thy will be done. Okay? Because the thing is, some people think it does feel like it. That it seems like when tragedies come and things come in our lives, we the only one catching it. And everybody else just walking around scot-free and easy and don't have no problem. But yet, all things work together. And if we understand the purpose according to His purpose.
Right.
And if we just deal with the situation and pray and fast and pray and read and study and get into the Word of God and just say, Lord, I know you're going to bring me out. Okay? If you brought the children of Israel out, Lord, I know you're going to bring me out.
Amen.
Then you would know what His purpose. Then you'll find out His purpose. His purpose is to whatever it is He's trying to do in your life.
All right. Amen. We're going to end this segment. And, you know, I think our next topic is going to be the perfect will of God.
Okay.
Amen. That's a good one.
And,
amen.
We'll discuss that. We can discuss it this week or next week.
Okay, let me write it down.
Amen.
The perfect will of God, and how do we move in the perfect will of God? Okay,
the perfect.
Amen.
Okay. So everybody, give their last 2 minutes. 2 minutes thought.
When are we going to do that?
We can do that Thursday.
Next month?
Next what?
We'll do next Monday.
Okay, well, we can just wait till next Monday. That'll be fine. You sure you don't want to do it Thursday?
You want to do it Thursday?
That'll be fine with me.
Okay.
Thursday 6:30, or do we need to, 6:30 or a little bit later?
6:30 is good.
6:30 is good, yeah. Okay, so Thursday at 6:30, we're going to talk about the perfect will of God. And
okay.
I know you all know by now I will have some subtopics. So I'll post the subtopics on there as well.
Okay.
But
all right.
That'll
all right.
Give us that.
Amen.
So everybody give their last little 2 minutes what they have to say, and we're going to close out this show.
Okay, I really enjoyed the discussion tonight. I mean, this evening. I think it was very educational in the Word and establishing the facts which are already written that His grace and forgiveness is unlimited. I just appreciate His grace on today, because if it wasn't for His grace, I just wouldn't be where I am.
Amen. Reverend Williams?
I'm the same way as that. We serve an awesome God. And
yes,
one thing about it, for me trying to depict His brain on which way He's going to go with, I just know that in His Word, if we get in His Word, and if we trust in His Word and live by His Word, I believe that the Word of God is going to stand. And I believe that grace is already extended, because He said He's given us heavenly things in heavenly places. And He's given us the best treasures He could ever give us. And that is all of Himself. Everything that He has, from His ordinances to His Word to everything that is of the church, if we learn to just get into that and get out of other things, we'll find that we serve an awesome God. And can't nobody put us in hell. Can't nobody put us in heaven. The only one that can do that is nobody but yourself and the judgment that is to come. Amen.
Okay.
Amen.
Amen.
I pray that the grace of God be with everyone.
Amen. Sister Regina.
I agree with everybody. The same way, we do serve an awesome God. And if it wasn't for him, we wouldn't be. Well, I know I wouldn't be where I am today myself. And, you know, and God bless everybody. And I enjoyed the whole show.
Amen.
Amen.
There's somebody, I don't know, did they just come on the line or did I miss them?
I don't know.
There's so many callers here, and I'm looking. Most everybody has hung up at the last session right there. But it's a 672 number on that I thought was Evangelist Williams.
Mine is 972. My house phone is 972.
Okay, there's a
936. That's Sister
Bobby. Hey, Sister Bobby.
Have you been on all night long, holding on?
How you doing? Yes, ma'am. Good evening.
Oh, my goodness. I am.
How you doing, man?
I am so sorry. Because I'm looking at the 672, and I thought that's the number I generally call you from, Evangelist Williams. I'm like, okay, so she's on. I am so sorry. Because you know we wanted you on this call.
I bless
you. You should have said something.
Yes, ma'am. Can I share something on forgiveness?
Yes.
Christ's resurrection was necessarily a condition for forgiveness for man's sin. And to be forgiven, you know, we had to be identified with Christ in his crucifixion and resurrection. However, God gave us a demand, a condition, as Sister William was saying earlier. It was a condition that we forgive others. So our forgiveness is based on how we forgive others.
That's right.
We can't just ask God to forgive us if we can't forgive someone else. And
mm-hmm.
I don't think it's in line with the same thing. I think it's still with the condition of a person's heart, because forgiveness is a spirit that God, a gift from God. It's a gift. How did it say? It's a spirit. And it's a gift from God that shows the Christ that's in all of us. So without forgiveness, we don't amplify the Christ that's in any of us.
Amen.
And then when we look at grace, praise God, when we look at grace, grace is a favor or either a kindness shown towards someone, the same thing as forgiveness, but in a different way. But it says it is shown towards people not because of their worth or their merit or because they deserve it. It's something that automatically, it's another gift that God gives us in grace. And, you know, by his death again, Jesus' death and resurrection, he restored the broken fellowship that we had with God, you know, and given us grace. So he also said, I must be accompanied by faith. So with that faith, it's impossible even to receive the grace of God. But I had scriptures also to convey what I'm sharing. I really have enjoyed the message, and I've enjoyed the word. And
well, if you have a scripture that you want to give, and Evangelist Williams have time, that's fine with me.
Yes, ma'am.
Amen.
You know, I was sitting there taking all notes.
Because I was wondering why she didn't call.
I was too.
Yeah, I called her and given her the scriptures. But always let us know when you're on the line.
Well, I have forgiveness. It's Colossians 1 and 14.
Colossians 1 and 14.
Uh-huh. That's the forgiveness through faith.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And then the condition that we forgive others is Matthew 18:23-35.
Okay.
Because it talks about the servants who... the Lord had compassion on the servant, but the servant went on in verse 35 and didn't want to forgive the person that owed them.
Right, right. Amen. So,
that was in Matthew 18:23-35. And then the Spirit of God that gives come out of Mark 11 and 25.
Okay.
Also, in grace, dealing with grace, it's by Jesus' death and resurrection, how we've been restored, is Acts 15 and 11.
Okay, for he... All right.
Okay, Galatians 1:13. I would go back a scripture, 13 and 14. For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sin.
Yeah, I read that one. I went straight down the line.
These scriptures to me were based on believers that God
okay,
would
yeah.
be. But if we're not believers, we could accept or receive the word of God. So I'm believing it's based on believers. But you know, I had a real debate in my mind about forgiveness. When you're talking about going back and repenting over and over and doing the same thing and asking to forgive you, then you go and you do it again. I was unlearned. And I didn't know no better. Hello?
I'm here.
Uh-huh. I was unlearned, and I didn't know no better. When I was lost in the world. Even though I knew of Jesus, I didn't know Jesus. So I would repent, and I'd find myself going back, and I would repent, and I'd go back. But it was until that day that I really, really needed a breakthrough and wanted a breakthrough that I received my deliverance, as Pastor Williams, she was saying. You have to get a deliverance from whatever that is. But unlearned people, they do these things unknowing, but their heart's desire is not to do them. So it's a lot like Romans, that I, you know, desire not to do, I find myself doing. So I was a lot like that, and over and over.
She's going
repenting.
Away from the mic, isn't she?
But, you know, I kept it, and I was able to be delivered. So to me, I wouldn't make an unlearned person feel that they're going the same.
You're fading out.
No better.
You're fading out.
Okay. Hello?
Okay.
Yes, ma'am. I would say to them to continue. Because, see, sin, glory to God, he say he don't honor the sin that is a pattern. Some people have a pattern of sin. But then some people just sin on an impulse. It's an action. They just act on sin right then. But some people have a habit of sinning.
Right.
So that was the difference. I didn't have a habit. I just found myself sinning, but my heart was truly trying to be delivered. So that could be kind of confusing if a person said that they was wrong to keep going to God for forgiveness for something they really didn't understand, because I was unlearned and I didn't know what I was doing, but I knew I needed deliverance. So one day God did deliver me. But if somebody had told me I was in vain going to God and telling me that I couldn't keep going to him, asking him to deliver me, I might not be delivered today.
Okay,
so,
right. Amen.
I think we have
Amen.
To be very careful how we express that to people. Because there's nothing wrong with continually going to God and asking God. And then one day God delivered me. So I know one day, and I believe with him, whoever's listening, that God is going to deliver you from whatever you're going through. But you're going to have
Amen.
To go before him and be sincere with a contrite heart and wear it out until you get your breakthrough. You can't just
right.
go and get and run. You got to stay there. And said, God give you a breakthrough in there, and then you'll be free, and you'll be forgiven. So I just thank y'all for letting me share that.
Yeah.
Okay.
I just thank you for that.
Okay, I'm glad you got through. I would have hated in the show with you just holding on and not had a chance to speak. Okay, we are just about out of time, and again, we have already have our topic for next time, and we are going to go ahead and end the show. And again, I thank. Well, first of all, I want to thank we have a sponsor that has made it possible for us to have another month. Of the show at the show
all
time
right.
that we have. So I want to thank our sponsor.
Okay, amen.
For that, and I'm not going to call the name because I don't know if they, you know, wanted to do it. And, you know, sometimes people do things in private or whatever, so
right,
I'm not
right.
going to call it, but I do want to thank them.
Okay.
For all that. And
yeah.
and we do our listening status is steady going up, and just remember to tell the listeners that they can always go back on any of your pages, and we have a site on Facebook that's called Faith Based Purpose on Facebook, and you can go there and you can know what show is coming up next.
All right,
it's a group page that we have set up there. And you'll never miss whatever show is coming up. You can also go back and listen to the shows from that page. So I'm hoping we can get enough people to go in and like the page and, you know, kind of join the group and just keep up with everything. Keep posting. If you have any thoughts, post them on that page. Post your scriptures on that page. Do whatever, you know, and we'll just keep building it up.
Amen.
Amen.
All right.
Amen.
Well, everyone, good night.
Good night.
And
good
we'll
night,
talk on
good
Thursday down. At 6:30 p.m. Central Standard Time.
Okay. Good night.
All right. Good night, everyone.
Good night, Ms. Sugar. Good night.
Good night.
Good night. All right.
Hi, this is Ms. Sugar with Faith Based Purpose with your host, Evangelist Patricia Williams, co-host Reverend Roosevelt Williams, and I, Ms. Sugar, am your moderator. We would like